TED Audio Collective.
This is Tyler. He's a veteran.
I looked up, how long does it take to transition? What happens when someone does transition? And so I thought maybe it would be better if trans people weren't able to serve.
And this is Maddie. She's also a veteran.
I served for 16 years in the military. So the place I have in my heart for the Marines is right next to the place where I feel in my core that I'm trans.
Hi, Maddie.
Hello, how are you?
Canva presents stories to keep you up at night. It was an ordinary work day until...
The Singapore presentation is at
3 a.m.
The office was shocked.
That's when we sleep.
Maya made it less scary with Canva.
I'll just record my presentation so Singapore can watch it anytime.
Record and present anytime with Canva presentations at canva.com. Designed for work.
Hey, I'm Dylan Marin, and welcome back to Conversations with People Who Hate Me, the show where I move negative online conversations from inboxes, comment sections, and social media posts to phone calls. Now, sometimes I speak one-on-one with people who have said negative things about me on the internet, and other times I share this platform with people who have received their own digital negativity. In this episode, I'm connecting two people who didn't know each other before this call. Their relationship is through me. My first guest, Tyler Gilmore, is my husband's cousin. And the other guest, Maddie Macara, is the wife of my childhood babysitter. Why am I connecting them? Well, it comes down to one topic: the proposed ban of transgender folks serving in the military. In a since-deleted Facebook post, Tyler, a veteran of the Marines, publicly expressed his support of the ban. Maddie is also a veteran of the Marines, and she recently came out as a trans woman. First, I'll speak one-on-one with Tyler, then I'll speak one-on-one with Maddie, and after that, I'll connect them to each other. So, let's get started.
Hi, Tyler.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, I'm doing good.
You are a veteran.
Yes.
And a Marine.
Yes.
Okay, so what made you want to join the Marines?
There's a plethora of reasons why I wanted to join. I come from kind of a poor family, and I wanted to explore the world and get out of, the small town of Middleton, Idaho. And I also was kind of trying to come out of the closet at the same time. And so it was I thought if I join the Marine Corps, mm-hmm. Part of me was it'll turn me into a man, right? Mm-hmm. Quote unquote. And then the other part of me was I'll be the first Marine to serve openly gay. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously wasn't true at the time. Right. I just was unaware.
But you were why not?
Yeah, I was both of those.
Let's get that record, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, and it was a good choice. I mean, ultimately, I'm the first person, in my immediate family to even get a degree. And so it ended up being very, very, very good for me.
What was it like being in the Marines?
It's very intense. Mm-hmm. And right in the beginning, boot camp was really challenging. I definitely cried a few times. Everybody cries at boot camp. And if mm-hmm. they say they didn't, they're lying.
But this is the truth coming from you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so middle of the night, no one's looking, you sob.
Yeah.
deep sobbing. So yeah, when people ask me, I always say it was very intense. It was some of the best and worst experiences of my life. And it taught me amazing lessons. I think a lot of the times in the United States, we do live in this very small bubble of very safe bubble for the most part. But going to places like war-torn nations, mm-hmm. That really, I almost feel like everybody should have to go and see something like that because it mm-hmm. is so intense and it is so eye-opening, and it really changes your view on everything from how you view your family to how you view your friends, how you view objects. I just don't view objects the same anymore. None of that seems to matter since I came back. And
you mean material?
Yeah, materialistic stuff. Yeah. And I'm in what's called inactive service.
Okay.
So if shit hits the fan, they're going to call back someone like me and other people
who's inactive right now.
Yeah, exactly.
And so what have you been doing in your inactive duty time?
Well, the first thing I did when I got out, I took some college courses when I was in, I was in a combat battalion, and we just could not mm-hmm. do courses. I wanted to do school so bad and I couldn't do it. So when I got out, I immediately went to a community college in Bellingham, Washington.
Yeah.
And so about, into my second year of college, I started applying to schools and I got accepted into Cornell, which was across the country. Mm-hmm. And I once I got excited, I screamed. You know, I was on my bed.
right.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
And I packed my bag up and my whole car, my apartment up, and drove cross country.
Yeah.
And now that's where I'm at now.
Okay, great. Now to bring this into a more macro conversation, July of 2017, Trump announces the trans ban in the military. Right. And your feelings about that were?
That tweet, I was absolutely against the tweet. Like, it's not necessary to say something like that.
Right.
So I was not for that, but, you know, is it, you know, a good thing to have transgenders in the military? Does it affect the overall readiness?
Okay, so in a since-deleted Facebook post, you expressed support for the ban. Not the tweet, but the ban. Why did you write that post?
I saw, like, outrage on the left, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, how dare you do something like that? I was annoyed that the left was reacting like this when they're so, when I felt like they were so opposed to the military industrial complex in general.
Mm.
Well, a lot of my friends on the left are like just so mad at me that I could even think that maybe it would be a good idea to have a ban on transgenders in the military. And that was just my argument. I was like, well, I mean, they're not inclusive and they're not equitable.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the point of the military. The military's point is to be a fighting force,
right,
to kill, you know?
When people started pushing back on you for that post, how did you start to feel?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't feel, I wasn't upset, you know, but I was just kind of like lay off me. Most of them weren't even military members. And that's what's irritating. It was like people who had never even experienced the military and have no idea what it's like to be under the pressure of combat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're coming at me being like, we need to do this and this. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
And where do you stand now on it? Are you pro the trans ban?
I'm honestly just still confused about it. Like I don't want to be against it, but I want to be for it because I want everybody to feel, you know, a part of this country. I don't want them to feel, you know, left out. But it is really complicated because I do feel like there's a lot of issues that come on board with that. Like I looked up, like, how long does it take to transition? What are like the what happens when someone does transition? I watched a few YouTube videos and so my thing is, if someone comes in and they're trans with the hope to transition in the military, that makes them inoperable for like 6 months to a year is what I read, because of like hormone treatment. And then if they get the surgery on top of that, and then you're getting hormone treatment, which, you know, affects your brain. I mean, steroids are illegal, and you can't take those. And a lot of that is because of the reactions that you have, not only like metabolically, but
Steroids are illegal.
They are illegal in the Marines, in the military in general.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my thing. Like, I think it's, and then when they're, I mean, yeah, I guess I just have a lot of questions.
But that's what an amazing place to start, right?
Yeah,
like questions are a great thing to have. So did you know any trans Marines?
Not a single one that I served with. I never met a single one. I didn't know anybody in the Marines, no.
Okay, so we can change that right now.
Cool, yeah.
Look at you.
Marines?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
So, Maddie, in only as many details as you're comfortable sharing, tell me about you.
Well, I grew up in a small town, Massachusetts, and a conservative family. We went to church a lot. I was Pentecostal Christian, and I was this sort of solitary kid with long hair. I spent almost all my time either playing sax and guitar or skateboarding.
Oh.
And I use those as like my outlets for getting my frustration out a lot.
And what are you seeking an outlet from?
I feel like I didn't know myself at all.
Mm.
I couldn't see myself in the future. I couldn't see myself in the present.
Mm.
I didn't really want to go into college right away. I was thinking like just an adventure into the unknown might be best for me because I'm sort of an unknowable person. So I decided to join the Marines as a musician.
Wow.
Even though I knew almost nothing about the Marines.
And this was right out of high school?
Yep.
What was the introduction to the Marines like?
All Marines have to go through 3-month boot camp, combat training. So it was a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
It was a ton of work.
but it really was an adventure. I got to travel the country. I became a leader very early. I was a sergeant.
Oh, wow.
Before my 21st birthday.
Oh, my God.
Things that I learned there have kind of propelled me through the past 20 years. The core values in the Marines, honor, courage, and commitment, and integrity, those things, especially now. And I'm really feeling them in my core, and they define me in a big way.
Mm-hmm. How are you using honor, courage, and commitment right now?
I really feel like, you know, I'm honoring my friends and family and others out there who have, you know, struggled with who they are through the years by being myself now, coming out as a trans woman. It's funny because sometimes I think it's sort of like one of those Bourne Identity movies where the government taught me these values, and little did they know that one day I would use them to live openly as a trans woman.
That's kind of beautiful. What was the coming out process like?
Well, you know, after I left the Marines, had an epiphany a few years ago that, you know, life is really short. It's about living your life as who you are with integrity and, you know, being an example of that for sure for your kids. You know, I have a daughter. So there was a huge shift in me when I felt that. And I knew I had to come out. And it wasn't even a question. I just knew I had to do it. It was a really magical moment, too, because now it became a challenge. And it was, oh, you think this is impossible? Wait and see. Because I'm coming for you, life, and I'm going to slay this thing.
Oh, my God. That's so beautiful. Wow. How has it felt to live out loud and proudly as a trans woman?
It's been amazing. It was hard going right up to that moment, and I didn't know how people would react. I knew people would be surprised, but I wasn't expecting to be surprised myself by the reactions, because I just got a ton of support and love.
That's from wonderful.
A lot of people. People I served in the Marines with, and then I also was in the Air National Guard. And people have been amazing.
So last July, when Trump suddenly announced this trans ban in the military, where were you when that happened, and how did it feel to see that?
I think I was at work, I think, and I heard the news. I had sort of a swirl of thoughts and feelings in the wake of that. I served for 16 years in the military, you know, and that's not a small thing. So, you know, I come from it. I come to it from that perspective. And, you know, everybody thinks of the phrase, once a Marine, always a Marine. If you're a Marine, it's weird because it's almost like an unsentimental fact. It's just, it is what it is.
It's just like you are
a Marine.
A Marine,
That's just the way it is. It's just a fact. So, you know, the place I have in my heart for the Marines is right next to the place I have in my heart where I feel in my core that I'm trans. And there's sort of like two sides of the same coin because, you know, the courage and integrity I learned in the military are things I use every day. And that have really given me the opportunity, I feel like, to do this thing.
Now, did you interact with any people who vocally supported the ban?
No, I really haven't done that. I've steered clear of that.
So you are about to talk to someone who did, at least at one point, vocally support the trans ban. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. You know, it's a little nerve-wracking, I guess, because I don't really do that, like talk to people and about, you know, issues like this. I sort of steer clear of that. And, you know, I do kind of think my example, just like being mm-hmm. myself and mm-hmm. and being in the lives of my friends and family that has some effect, I hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you feel ready to have this conversation?
Yep, I think so.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do it.
Great.
Hi, Maddie.
Hello, how are you?
Stay right there. We'll be right back. Before we continue, I just want to say thanks for being here. Also, you can be on this show too. Has someone said something negative about you online, or maybe you've said something negative about someone else? Either way, after this episode is over, go to www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com where you can fill out a guest form. And if you don't want to be on this show, that is totally cool. I appreciate you just the same. Maybe consider telling a friend about this show. Word of mouth has brought this podcast around the world, so your recommendation goes a long way. All right, let's get back to the conversation.
Maddie, can you hear us at an okay level?
Yep, you sound sort of reverby, but it's probably like a speakerphone or something.
We are on speakerphone, but it's just for recording purposes. Are you okay with that?
No, I have to back out. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's done. All right, well, thank you so much. So to kind of kick things off, Maddie, can you talk to Tyler about your history and time in the Marines?
Sure. Joined the Marines in 97, and I had a unique job in the Marines as a musician, but went through boot camp, combat training, everything Marines do. So, mm-hmm. you know, in a single day, we could spend hours on a really delicate piece of music and then go and, you know, firearm training, gas chamber, you know, physical fitness. Mm. But it was a lot of hard work.
And now just so you can hear, Tyler, tell Maddie about your experience in the Marines.
Sure. I was a 35-31 motor vehicle operator. And so when we deployed, we did route clearance. We did security. We did logistics. You know, a lot of it was just like prepping, a lot of convoys, a lot of like, you know, weapons maintenance and training and, you know, probably a lot of the same things that you did. Gas chamber, sure. too.
What does that mean? That sounds terrifying to me.
Gas chamber? Yeah. Do you want to take that, Maddie?
Yeah, Maddie, what's that?
Well, I mean, gas chamber training, you go and you're in this enclosed space and they release tear gas. And you have to do a series of things. And if you do them correctly, then you'll get out of there and you'll be fine. You'll get through it. But if you can't operate your gas mask correctly, or you don't breathe, you know, as you should, if you're too nervous, then a few seconds after getting in there, you're crawling for the door.
Damn. Yeah. That'll fuck you up. So, okay. This is great to know. So I also now wanted to bring up, you both very bravely came out as identities, one of which was not, and one of which now is not necessarily welcome mm-hmm. in the military. Tyler, I want to start with you. You came out as gay.
Yeah, I did. I remember when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, I was deployed and...
Oh, it was right then.
Yeah, it was. And somebody ran up to me with a newspaper that had this image of a male Marine jumping on another male Marine, kissing him in the Hawaii Hangar Bay.
I remember that image.
Yeah, it was an iconic photo.
Yeah.
Then I tried to come out, and my best friend at the time, he abandoned me. I mean, he stopped being my friend entirely, and this was in a combat environment.
Whoa.
And I just went into like a very deep depression, and I didn't want to come out. Then when I came back out of deployment, I just couldn't. I like wanted to come out, and Don't Ask, Don't Tell was repealed, so I knew
right.
I could.
Yeah. So people know how that works, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a policy implemented by Clinton,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
That was saying you're welcome to be gay in the military as long as you don't tell anyone.
I think that's a little bit too of a
generous.
Yeah, way too generous. Yeah. It was like during when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was in place, people were getting kicked out quite often. Like I remember even being in when it was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and I remember them like my sergeant coming around and just saying like if any of you guys get caught, you know, no, we're gonna find you faggots, like blah blah blah.
Oh fuck.
Oh yeah. And he's like, even though it might be repealed here in the next couple of years, like, just know that if we catch you, you know, being a fag before, then you're then you're out. And I remember, like, my fists, like, my palms, like, sweat. And I was just like, oh, my God, oh, my God.
So, I mean, so this is a really important thing we're hitting on right now, which is that, like, policy is affecting how people are treated.
Oh, yeah. Right. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So, Maddie, you were serving in the time when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was law, right?
That's right.
What was the kind of vibe under Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
I did actually have very close friends in the Marines who are gay, who either told me at the time or later.
Were they nervous?
We didn't talk about it.
Yeah, right. But that's the name of the policy.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah. How have you been treated as a gay Marine, both in the Marines and beyond?
When I did come out, obviously, like, the first time in Afghanistan, it was like, yeah, it was bad. It was not good.
was when the
losing a friend.
Happening.
Yeah. Losing a friend was not ideal. Then when I came out in Hawaii, when I got back, it was actually like one of the most beautiful experiences of my life.
Really?
I came out to my one of my best friends, and he looked at me, and it was just, like, the sweetest thing. He just, like, had this smile, and he just looked at me. He's like, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I'm gay. And he was just like, why didn't you tell me? Like, am I the first person to know? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, thank God. Like, that was all he was, like, worried that you'd be the first person.
Yeah.
And then the rest of my – and then, of course, you know, they're Marines, and I know Maddie knows about this. Like, they asked the most inappropriate questions you could possibly imagine. You know, like, do you like to take it up the butt? Like, blah, 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 all that stuff. And I would answer in the, like, most thoroughly disgusting and descriptive way so that they would feel uncomfortable. If you're going to ask me that question, you're going to get a fucking answer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, overall, it was very well received, and I felt more love from my command for coming out than I did from, sadly, my own family. I love them, you know, but, like, that's really how I felt. Man. I felt like they were much more accepting.
Yeah. So, Maddie, I know you didn't come out as trans when you were in the Marines, but once a Marine, always a Marine, so you came out as a Marine. So, what was your coming out process?
After the Marines, I was in the Air National Guard for 12 years. And it was even after that that I came out. But I didn't think I could ever come out. It didn't seem like anything I could even fathom happening. I just thought, you know, people would lose their minds, basically. And one skill I learned in the Marines is to suck it up. Nobody ever told me that explicitly. Like, there wasn't a drill instructor who said, if you think you're transgender, you must suck
it up. Right.
He did call us ladies a lot.
And you were like, okay, I'm into this.
It's the nicest thing they ever said to me.
Yeah. And so the reason we're on this call is that in a since deleted Facebook post that I actually haven't seen, Tyler wrote in support of the trans man, and then got a lot of pushback. So Tyler, why did you delete it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I felt like, this is going to be brutally honest, I'm like applying for jobs, and I really didn't want this to be something that inhibited my ability to get a job.
Sure.
I basically said that I thought it was ridiculous that the left was kind of arguing in favor of having trans people be able to serve when they're so, like, ardently against the military-industrial complex in the first place. And then later on, like, you know, people commented back on there, you know, like, I was a bigot and stuff like that. And that's when I started getting into more intricate arguments in the comments, which were like, well, what about the Rand Report?
And we all know the comment section is the greatest place to have nuanced conversations.
Oh, so amazing.
Yeah.
People are really nice.
Yeah. And,
But I guess my thing was, like, I thought about when I came out in the Marines and when I was deployed. And there was a point when I was so depressed that I wanted to kill myself. And I thought, what if someone was transitioning when they're in the military? You know, say, I mean, even if they're not deployed, like, you're in the Marines too, Maddie. And, like, you know how stressful the Marines is in general. So I thought, like, what would that have been like? Because arguably, like, coming out as trans, especially now, is much more challenging than coming out as gay. Like, and so that was why I was sort of in support of I hate calling it the trans ban. That just sounds like so.
I mean,
hateful,
but I feel like it It is. Well, I mean, I think, Maddie, what would you call it? Do you call it the trans ban?
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, I think that's really what it is.
Okay, so to kind of sum this up, the kind of feeling you had, Tyler, mm-hmm. was I'm against these tweets,
sure,
but I am for this ban because of the research I'm reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And what were these sources for you? You said it's the Rand report.
So yeah, the Rand, it's Rand something report, which kind of outlined the budget. And then, you know, I just looked up like basic information about, you know, how long it takes to transition and what hormone therapy does to people. And so I thought, man, like maybe it would be better if trans people weren't able to serve because, I mean, A, it might even help them out because mm-hmm. that's going to be really challenging for them, but also overall, like, readiness of the military.
You know, when it comes to, like, a strong military, I think it's, you know, it doesn't make the military more strong to ask people to hide who they are because, you know, that's an exhausting thing to do. And it's also sort of goes against the what I consider the greatest values of the military, the integrity of the members. So, I think it might actually make the military weaker to ask trans people to hide who they are. And trans people, I mean, they aren't monolithic, though. You know, some trans people don't opt for any medical intervention. And some do to varying degrees.
I mean, I guess I just always thought, I didn't think that that trans people didn't. I just kind of viewed them all as wanting to transition.
Yeah.
I guess I just didn't really know that there were people in the trans community that maybe didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, transition means different things to different people. I think, unfortunately, you know, issues surrounding trans people are made out to be political issues. That's sort of how they're filtered down into what people hear about trans people. But I don't actually think it's a political issue.
You know, I was talking about don't ask, don't tell earlier, and you were saying, like, the policy sounds better than it is. Because, like, yes, in theory, don't ask, don't tell is, like, just stay closeted, but you can be gay. And in theory, the trans ban, like you were expressing, Tyler, is like, well, it doesn't make sense on paper in this way that is presented to me. And I'm not blaming you mm-hmm. for that. I'm saying, like, you were reading this report that presented trans identity in a pretty monolithic way.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the trans ban might have the same effect, right? When legislation or when policy says, like, we're banning this group of people or we're literally silencing these group of people, as Don't Ask, Don't Tell did, you're also leading people to kind of create biases,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You know, just looking at the culture in the Marine Corps, it won't move unless it's sort of, like, pushed along by the leadership.
Right.
Yeah.
We started this conversation kind of just talking about the trans ban, but we've invoked Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't Ask, Don't Tell would not have allowed you, Tyler, to enlist in the Marines. And as we know, the trans ban would ban you, Maddie, from joining. So first I want to ask Tyler, where would you be if you were not allowed to enlist in the Marines?
Oh, that's a good question. That is a good question. I couldn't tell you, but I mean, I can tell you how good it's been for me. Mm. You know, maybe I wouldn't have free college. I wouldn't have lived in Hawaii. I wouldn't have traveled the world. I wouldn't have some of the friends that I have. I wouldn't have the skill sets that I have of just being able to be resilient. Yeah, I mean, it would have really hurt my life for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Maddie, same question to you. Where would you be without the Marines?
I'd definitely be in a different place. It's hard to imagine because it was so formative for me. And, you know, I can trace so much back to the Marines. Yeah, I mean, life would have been much duller, I think. for sure. And having the experience of serving the Marines is unlike anything else. So it's hard to even imagine.
I don't know. I just want to say thanks. You're the first transgender Marine I've ever met in my life.
Oh, awesome.
Via phone. And it's really awesome to meet you. And I don't know. I guess I just appreciate you explaining, talking with me in the first place. And then also, being upset that I had questions and maybe dissenting opinions on the policy that obviously isn't in place in the first place. And I also wanted to say, you're super brave for serving, especially, years before I did, when it was probably a much more hostile place for anybody in the LGBTQ spectrum. So, yeah, I guess that's it. And thanks. Yeah, thanks.
It's so awesome to meet you and hear your story. And thank you so much for coming on here. And letting me share my story too. And, I can't imagine what you went through coming out, while you're deployed. I'm just in awe of you having the bravery to do that. So that's where I am right now.
Wow. Thanks.
I think it's amazing. And, thanks for being open and discussing this stuff. I think it's definitely an open story. We'll see where the story leads. One thing I like to think about, I transitioned myself, but I may be in the driver's seat, but I think, everybody around me is a passenger. So I think, we're all on this sort of story together.
Yeah.
So I'm hopeful. I think it's exciting and it's just great to get to talk about this with you.
Thanks. Yeah, agreed.
Well, that feels like a wonderful place to leave this. Thank you both so much for being on this call.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Dylan.
I guess we'll all see each other on the internet.
We will.
Great.
Okay. Bye, Maddie.
Bye.
If you'd like to be a guest on this show and take your own online conversation and move it offline, please visit www.conversationswithpeoplewhohateme.com for more information. Conversations with People Who Hate Me is a production of Night Vale Presents. Vincent Cascione is the sound engineer and mixer. Christy Gressman is the executive producer. The theme song is These Dark Times by Caged Animals. The logo was designed by Rob Wilson. And this podcast was created, produced, and hosted by me, Dylan Marin. Special thanks to Adam Cecil, Emily Moeller, and our publicist, Megan Larson. We'll be releasing episodes every other week, so I'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new conversation. Until then, remember, there's a human on the other side of the screen.
Ooh, we're racing through these dark times. It's hard to take it, but we're gonna make it through these dark times. Make it through these dark times. Make it through these dark times.